Okay. So, did Hashem delegate the redemption? And, of course, if he delegated redemption, if he delegates anything, does that mean, what does that mean about the delegation? Does that mean that he's relegating it in importance by delegating it? Or is that sort of, well, what you do when you're HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have all of these ways of getting things done, in Tanakh, they're very often called angels. Okay, so where does this all come from? This all comes from, it actually comes from the Haggadah, that's where we know about it most prominently. This question, if you look at the bottom of the page, where I have Haggadah Shel Pesach, and I have on the right, I have a comparison of our text of the Haggadah versus Rav Sadia Gaon's text of the Haggadah, which we'll compare later, but for now, just look at our text. So, our text has, in the crux of the storytelling of leaving Egypt, Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim lo al yedei malach. Hashem took us out of Egypt, not through an angel, v'lo al yedei sarach, v'lo al yedei shuyach, nor through a fiery angel, nor through a messenger. Sarach is just one kind of angel, the fiery angel. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodu v'atzma, rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shenemar, and then a pasuk is quoted, a pasuk from Bo. V'avarti v'eretz Yisrael b'layla hazeh, ani v'lo malach, v'kit kol b'chob eretz Yisrael, ani v'lo sarav, v'chol elohei Mitzrayim, e'eseh shvatim, ani v'lo hashaliach, ani Hashem, ani hu, v'lo acher. And then the next, then Biyad Chazakah is the continuation of the passage from Devarim that is the main item that is being interpreted when we retell the story in the Haggadah. So clearly, the emphasis is redemption happens just through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no angels, right? We have angels throughout Bereishit, throughout Shemot. There are plenty of angels. I mean, an angel is leading Bnei Yisrael in the wilderness. Taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that does not happen through an angel, according to the Haggadah. Okay, so now we can look at the Ramban, and you see, I quoted for you in bold emphasis, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, the Pasuk that is quoted as the proof text. And again, this is just the structure of the Haggadah, the way we have it, is that it starts out with the story, with the crux of the story being retold by the person bringing Bikurim. When he brings it to the Kohen, he says, Arami Oveid Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, the Psukim in Devarim, my father was wandering Aramean, and tells the story of leaving Egypt, and then the Psukim are interpreted by creating a dialogue between the Psukim in Devarim and the Psukim in Shemot. In the process of interpretation, this is the Psukim Shemot that's quoted as a proof text for the fact that Vayotzienu Hashem Yimitzrayim means that Hashem took us out, no angel. How do we know? From this pasuk. The question is, with all of these cases, well, what's the proof? How does V'yavarti V'yaretz Yisrayim Alayla Azevi Keiti Kol B'chor Yaretz Yisrayim Me'adam V'yad Be'ma V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem? What does that imply? How do we know that it's not through a malach? I mean, plenty of times HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, or the Torah says he does something, but he really does it through an angel. And plenty of times, if you think about it, there's almost an interchangeability between HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something and an angel doing something, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham that he's going to that he himself is going to destroy Sodom, but it's really the angels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham to sacrifice Yitzchak, but then it's the angel who tells him not to. All these times where there's sort of this seeming interchangeability between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angel at the burning bush, right? There's an interchangeability. Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, or is it his angel? And clearly the implication is, whatever it is that's the medium of communication, right, it's not the most transcendent expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is communicating with us. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu through some medium coming to us in this world. Right? A burning bush is not the definition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A burning bush is where a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared, but an angel is somehow involved. Here, no angel is involved, but how do we know it from the Pesukim? So this is where the Ramban comes in, first by quoting Rashi. Eseh shvatim ani Hashem, ani be'atzmi v'lo al yidei hashaliach ze lashon Rashi. So again, this is the Ramban, the second source. I did it myself, not through a messenger. Right? And notice all the rhetoric is sort of toned down. It's not ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo, right? It's just straight, I myself, no messenger. That's Rashi. Okay, so based on what part of the pasuk Rashi is commenting on, what is the source for the drasha? How do we know based on this specific pasuk that it's God without any mediation? Based on the part of the pasuk that Rashi is quoting on his comment. Eseh shvatim ani Hashem.
Because it's Hashem is telling Moshe and Aharon that on that night, meaning a future, it's upcoming,
right,
that ani Hashem eseh not only says eseh shvatim, he says eseh shvatim ani Hashem.
Exactly. There's an unnecessary repetition. Exactly. Right. Unnecessary repetition. You almost could read it as you're saying that. It will be me, Hashem, doing the shvatim. Right? Me, Hashem. It's going to be me doing it, not anyone else. Right? Makes a lot of sense. But the Ramban isn't happy with the language of the Haggadah if that is the source of the drasha. Umidrash chachamim enokein. If you think about the way the drasha is expressed in the Haggadah itself, it doesn't sound like Rashi is right. Why? Elav yavarti beretz Mitzrayim ani velo malach. I'll pass through Eretz Mitzrayim, me and not an angel. V'ikeitiko b'chor ani velo saraf. I will smite every firstborn, I and not the fiery angel. Uvachol olhei Mitzrayim eseh shvatim ani velo hashaliach. I will punish and judge all Egypt, all the gods of Egypt, me and not a messenger, ani Hashem, ani hu velo acher. It's me, nobody else, right? Uperusho, right? And what he's really saying is, why go through all of this if the drasha is ani Hashem? If the drasha is really ani Hashem, all you need to say is what Rashi said: eseh shvatim ani Hashem. The very fact that it goes through all of these seems to be saying more. Now, if you're, again, we're used to the Ramban being the one who takes a shot to the extra height, the extra level here. If you want to defend Rashi as the ultimate pshat interpreter, I remember I had a chavruta in Gush who loved saying, Rashi is always right. That was just he was enamored by Rashi. He said, Rashi is always right. He was talking about Rashi on Shas. But let's say you wanted to say that Rashi is the pshat. How might you defend Rashi's interpretation? Why does the Midrash go through all this long rhetorical flourish if really all it's about is the end of the pasuk ani Hashem? Well, to me, my initial inclination is, well, because it's a rhetorical flourish. What is a rhetorical flourish? It means that that's sort of, you know, it's getting into it. It's getting us into it. Right. There's a certain power to the way the Haggadah says it, right? The more times you say it's me and it's not anyone else, the more times you say it, the more powerful it sounds.
Well, it's also, I mean, the Haggadah does its own version of the repetition. It says, "Vayosienu Hashem mimitzrayim lo al yedei malach." Right.
You know,
then it says, "Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu."
Right.
This is and the proof of that is this. But they use one pasuk and they say that proves nothing.
Right.
This other pasuk proves everything.
Right.
You know.
And but again, that very often is the way the Haggadah works,
right,
where
no,
it's the sort of the back and forth between the pesukim in Dvarim and the pesukim in Shemot.
Which is why the Haggadah of Rav Sadia Gaon
Okay, we're going to get to that. I like your interpretation of Rav Saadia Gaon. It's not that of David Henschke, who I'll quote to you in a minute, but I like your interpretation of Rav Saadia Gaon. We'll get to Rav Saadia Gaon in a minute. Let's finish the Ramban. Uperusha, ki bavor shaparsha diber Moshe im Yisrael. So because the whole time in this pasuk, right, Ramban hasn't yet explained his own interpretation. All he's done is explain why Rashi is no good. But now he says, this entire parsha, if you look at Perek Yud Bet, all the entire time it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to through Moshe to Bnei Yisrael. Really, it's Moshe speaking with Bnei Yisrael, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorry, it's Moshe speaking to Bnei Yisrael, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayaroi sheyomer ve'avar Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim. V'hi kol b'chor. It should have said, and Hashem will pass through Egypt. Why ve'avarti? And I will pass through Egypt. Right? Look at the psukim beforehand. Right? It starts out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe and Aaron. But starting in Pasuk Gimel, Dabru el kol adat Yisrael. Right? This is Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of the first source. Speak to all Bnei Yisrael and say the following. And all of it is Moshe now speaking to Bnei Yisrael. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to, he's referred to in the third person. So look at the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph, right before our Pasuk, our big Pasuk. Right? Ve'achaltem oto b'chipazon Pesach Hu l'Hashem. You shall eat it in a hurry. It's a Pesach for Hashem. It doesn't say Pesach Hu li v'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim. It's Pesach Hu l'Hashem. Again, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ve'haya hayom azel l'chem azikron v'chagotem oto chag l'Hashem. Right? It's not chag li. So va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, that's strange. Why not say va'avar Hashem? That's the source of the drasha. And then every time you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking in the first person out of context, when it's really Moshe speaking to Bnei Yisrael, and it should be in the third person, every time you have first person, va'avarti v'hiketi, right? Uvechol Elohim Mitzrayim e'eseh, every time, ani, right? Then the ani is sort of like the exclamation point. But Rashi's saying it's not only the exclamation point, it's the whole point. Ramban is saying, no, it's only the exclamation point. The point is, every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe speaks in the first person about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's already the source of the drasha. That's why the drasha repeats over and over again all the different contexts. Uperusho, ki bavor shaparsha diber Moshe im Yisrael. I'm reading it in the third paragraph of the Ramban. Hayaroi sheyomer ve'avar Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim v'hi kol b'chor. V'lukach yedreshu ki avarti ani bi'atzmi. Loide malach shaluach me'ito b'magefot. Not through an angel sent from me who sends plagues. Kitnyan b'david. Right? When David HaMelech sins, counts the people, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a plague through an angel. Uvisan Cherev. Same thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a plague to destroy Sancheirev's army against Bnei Yisrael, it's through an angel, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Right? Especially when there's a plague. What's the plague here? Ma'akat b'choro, right? So v'hiketi kol b'chor ani v'lo saraf, right? Next paragraph. Lomar ki gam ha'ma'akat tiyah al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the point here? That the ma'akat itself, the punishment, the direct punishment to Paro will be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Lo kimelech, not like a king. She'yaseh nekama b'sonav. Who will very easily pay back his enemies? Al yidei spaklatorim, he'll use executioners, right? This is a Greek word. Your executioner who does the job for you. Why would a king get his own hands dirty when he can just have the guy executed by the executioner? The king doesn't have to kill the guy himself. Shem HaSeraphim. That's what these fiery angels are for. Right? God has all these fiery angels, so he doesn't have to get his own hands dirty killing intruders. Or killing people who... Right? That's why he has Malach HaMavet. That's why he has... There are plenty of ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't need to get his hands dirty. Shemehem teitzei eish sarefet bo'evav. Kinyan Eliyahu b'sarei hachamishim. Right? You have, there too, you have an angel who is punishing their Eliyahu's the messengers who were sent to kill Eliyahu. Was it to kill Eliyahu or to arrest Eliyahu? I don't remember. Uvuchol olhei Mitzrayim me'aseh shvatim v'lo al yedei hashaliach hashaluach meito yitbarach l'chol ma'asim anasim baretz. Right? And not through any messenger. And now he gets a little bit Kabbalistic. V'u ha'malach ha'gadol shenikra ba'avor kein mitatron. And this hashaliach refers to the greatest of all the angels. Who is the greatest of all the angels? Metatron, right? Who, according to Chazal, is Chanoch, who was a human being who was who perfected his life, was taken from God, ve'einenu ki lakach ota Elohim, and he morphed into an angel, and not only any old angel, but the greatest of all the angels. So. Right, Hashaliach is the greatest of all the angels, according to the Ramban. Right now, there are two things. Right besides the Ramban's very convincing interpretation. Right, I thought Rashi was convincing also that Ani Hashem is why say Ani Hashem because it's me doing it. But the Ramban's distinction between Pasuk Yud Bet and the rest of the parasha is also very convincing, and it explains why the repetition. Va'avarti, right? Vihiketi, e'eseh shvatim, and then Ani Hashem is the exclamation point. But in addition to making that point, he also very clearly emphasizes here that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically in the context of Makat Becharot. Right? Why? And that also explains why the Saraf. There are so many synonyms for angels. Why Saraf? The Saraf is the fiery angel who HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to get rid of those that he wants to get rid of, who he doesn't want to bother with himself. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bother with himself. And by the way, I think besides the Ramban's explanation, I could also point out that the whole point of Yitziat Mitzrayim was that in the world of Egypt, it was a world where you had the pharaohs with their magicians doing all their magic. And the whole point here was, at the beginning, Moshe's using magic, right? And it looks like it's the same thing as the Egyptians' magic, but the whole point is to distinguish, eventually. Right? And the distinction becomes sharper and sharper, right? At the beginning, right, with Dam, it's the first of the ten Makot, and it almost looks like, oh, the Egyptian magicians can do the same thing. But as the distinctions become more and more concrete, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness becomes more and more clear, the distinction becomes clearer. And here is also an important distinction. It's not magicians working for Paro. It's not anyone working under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Right. The other thing that's interesting here that the Ramban is saying that Hashaliach, separate from the Ramban's Kabbalistic reading, which I can't claim to understand, but what's interesting is he doesn't understand Hashaliach the way many Mefarshim understand it. How do some of the Mefarshim understand Hashaliach? What's the difference between a Malach and a Shaliach in the Torah, Malach very often just means a messenger, but many scholars have pointed out that in the language of Chazal, a Malach doesn't mean a messenger anymore, right? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, Rashi says Malachim Mamish, right? Meaning real angels, not messengers. But the simple reading is that Yaakov sent messengers, not angels. Why? Because for Chazal have a different word. A shliach is a human messenger, and a malach is a divine messenger, an angel. Right? In the Torah, a messenger is a malach could be a human a messenger or a divine messenger. Right? Shliach, according to many of the Mefarshim, therefore is not a divine messenger, but rather a human messenger. Which human messenger? Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, right? One could have said, "Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, he does perform a lot of the makot. He doesn't perform makot b'chorot, right?" And right? After all, what's a good reason to say that Hashaliach is Moshe? Who's missing from the Haggadah? Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is absolutely missing from the Haggadah. I mean, when you think about it, it's astounding. I mean, we all have heard this idea of God's name is missing from Megillat Esther, because this is the hidden miracle. But you know, but it's much more powerful that Moshe Rabbeinu is missing from the Haggadah. And of course, it's a very nice parallel, right? Who is God in the Megillah, right? According to Chazal, right? Balayla ahuna tedashnat Hamelach. Whenever every time it says Hamelach, which is all over the place, right? Chazal see a potential allusion to God, right? Because God is sort of there behind the scenes, even though it's really referring to Ahasuerus, right? Melech Malchei Hamelachim. Right, so then who is Hashaliach? Moshe. What's the problem? The problem is it's in the context of the Torah of the Haggadah saying that Moshe is absent. He's not there. Right? Now look at Siddur of Sadigan. This is the Haggadah of Rav Sadigan, which he just brings in a Siddur. Very interesting. He has the Hey Hayidia for all of them. By the way, this is the earlier version. The Haggadot that give you all the earliest versions have this version. Lo Ayidei Hadiber. The Diber actually refers to the Logos, the Memra, which is this Targumic tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by creating his word, and his word created the world, right? Vayomer Elokim Yehior. God's word is doing the creating, right? That God has an angel helping him with the creation. He creates the angel. The angel does the creation. Because again, right, this is part of the notion of God is completely transcendent in order to come down to this world. It's like the Sefirot. We need a Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes closer to us through these angelic forces, right? El Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvado v'yatzmo. But what's missing? The proof text. Now, Ben very nicely was saying, well, really, the proof text could be a later added idea, because what do all those proof texts do? They sort of create a dialogue between the psukim and dvarim, where the retelling of the story Arami Ovidavi by the person bringing the bikurim, and the original telling of the story in Shmot in the context. But do you really need the second drasha? This is where David Henschke, a scholar of Talmudic literature, he argues no. What's going on here is more than that. It's that the proof text that associates God Himself and not an angel and not a messenger, the proof text that connects it with Makat Bechorot is being eliminated. Because the statement is a much more broad statement. It's a statement that God, in the entire redemption, not just in that one makom, the entire redemptive process, was God Himself and nobody else. Right? Of course, this makes it even more problematic if Hashaliach is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is everywhere in Shemot. He's doing everything, right? Makat Bechorot is just about the only thing that he doesn't play a role in. And of course, even there, he's preparing the people down to the very last minute. That's actually where David Henschke refers to a tradition. Psukim from Yeshayahu in a Midrashic tradition interpreting those psukim very, very beautifully, right? What do you do with Moshe Rabbeinu if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not using any mediator, even a human mediator, for the entire redemption. Look at these psukim from Yeshayahu. Pasuk tet, b'chol tzaratam lo tzar, and this is a Creek tiv. Right, the what's written in the scroll is lo lamed aleph, meaning that whenever we were in great suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no suffering. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't suffer, right? U'malach panav hoshiyam, and rather an angel of his presence redeemed them. Okay, that's a sad thought, right? Right. It's sort of that's the ultimate transcendence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Don't think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain, but Chazal say no. Kadosh Baruch Hu does feel our pain. Imo anochi v'tzara. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu appears in a burning bush, as if to say, "I'm in as much pain as you are." That's why he appears in such a lowly context to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And that's the absolutely, totally contradictory, opposite meaning that's carried by the way we read it. The reading, the Kree, is lo with a vav. That any time Bnei Israel are in pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain with them. Right? Now, fascinatingly, the Septuagint actually had a different, had a translation. It's na b'chol tzaratam lo tsar. The Septuagint translates lo as not, but lo, it's not lo tsar in the sense of not having pain, but in all of their pain, lo tsir. Tsir is another word for angel. So, with all of their pain, lo tsir umalach. With all of their pain, there was no angel nor an angel. Rather, panav hoshiyam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with his own face, saved them, right? But if you look as the psukim progress, what do you have? Pasuk Yudalef, Yizkor Yimei Olam Moshe Amo. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu becomes an extremely important player here. Pasuk Yudbet, Molich Liyamin Moshe Zroa Tifarto. He is taking Bnei Yisrael, leading them to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? This is the source for that beautiful neighborhood in Yerushalayim, Yamin Moshe. If you do not know Tanakh by heart, you do not know Yerushalayim geography to its depth. Right? Yamin Moshe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in Yeshayahu to Moshe's right. So David Hensch quotes this beautiful mechilta, the next source. Vayet Moshe yadeu al hayam. Moshe raises his staff over the sea, right? Yet another miracle that is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'yatzmo alone, but Moshe Rabbeinu as his messenger. Hitchil hayam omed kenegdo. The sea, which in Midrashic traditions is a rebellious sea, stands against him. Amar lo Moshe b'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheivaka, and Moshe invokes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to get the sea to split. Right, Moshe splitting the sea is not such a simple thing according to this midrash. V'lo kibel alav, right? The sea is not listening. The sea hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Right, presumably the ineffable name. He shows him the mata, right, which is according to the Haggadah, the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sort of the physical expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. It's like a king who has two gardens, one inside another. Macharta pnimi tivalo kach likanes. He sells the inside one, and the buyer now wants to enter his garden. Velohinicho ashomer, right? But the guard doesn't allow him. Amar lo kach l'shomer b'shem amelach. Velo kibel alav, right? Herahu et tatabat lo kibelav. Right, the angel is the messenger, the protector is not letting the buyer, who's Moshe, go into the inner path that he has purchased, the inner garden that he has purchased. Right, ad shenihe galokech et hamelech. The only thing that'll work is when the buyer goes and brings HaKadosh Baruch himself. As soon as the king comes, right, the guard who knows that he has been making a grave error runs away and says, you know, go do what you want. Amar lo, kol hayom hayiti omer lecha b'shem ha-melech v'lo kibalta alav alecha v'achshav mipnei mata borech. What's going on? Why are you running away now? The whole time I showed you the king's signet, right? I showed you his mata. Why? What's the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the matah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me and me showing you HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? But now, Elam Epnei HaMelech, it's only when the king comes. Kach Amad Moshe El Hayam. Amar Lo Moshe B'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shivaka V'Lo Kibelav. Herao HaMatah V'Lo Kibelav. Ad Sheninglo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alav B'Chvodo. Right? That same language as in B'Chvodo Uviatzmo that we have in, right, Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo V'Yatzo, Lo Yedemach, Lo Yisarf, Lo Yishef, Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo V'Yatzo, B'Chvodo HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, his own kavod appears there, V'Kevon Sheninglo HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo V'Vurato, Hitchel Hayam Barech. At that moment, the sea runs away. And beautiful interpretation of the psukim in Hallel, which we actually read as a continuation of the telling of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim at the end of the at the end of Magid, at the end of the Agada, Hayam Rav Ayanos, the sea sees and runs away. Amar lo, Moshe, kol hayom hayiti omer lecha. Right, Moshe says to the sea, what, the whole time I was telling you to split and you wouldn't do a thing. B'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, v'lo kibalta lecha. Achshav m'pnei ha-tabarech, malecha hayam kitanus. You see, why are you running away? Amar lo, lo mipanecha ben Amram. I'm not running away from you, yo, son of Amram, and son of Amram, son of X, is always a derogatory way of referring to a person, especially when it's an angel, right? Because angels aren't the children of anybody. They don't have to be born, right? Yo, son of Amram, I'm not running away from you. Ani barech elam mlifnei adon chulei aretz. Right? That's the reason for the repetition in the psukim of Hallel. Right, milafnei Eloa Elohei Yaakov haufchi atzur agamayim chalamish lemayinamayim. Right, the only one who can make this place, the sea split is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe can't make the sea split. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe is the messenger, but it's not. He's not even the messenger. Right, what is this saying? This answers the question: how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all of this without a messenger? Moshe is not the messenger. Moshe is there to help orchestrate things for the people. But Hashem is right there, l'yamin Moshe, to the right of Moshe, standing that whole time. Right? That's the conversation between Moshe and the sea. Moshe says in God's name, it doesn't work. When the sea sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when it does it.
Why do we need Moshe? Wouldn't it be like a greater miracle the people just saw God doing this, you know, it just happened. Like Moshe hitting the rock, you know, God told, don't hit the rock, just, you know, talk to it, and that'd be like a greater miracle.
I hear you. I mean, why not have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a much more imminent way presenting himself to the Jewish people?
Well, we're saying, we'll just connect the two. We're saying before that he did all the, you know, all the punishments he was giving to, we're saying it was God himself. We're saying, oh, these are all the proofs that we're giving before,
right,
saying this was the whole God. It was not an angel doing it. So we're saying, yeah, it was God. So why wouldn't we continue any more so?
I hear you. I mean, why is it's true.
We bring all these proofs to say it was God and wasn't anyone else, but then, you know, we need Moshe as the mediator between the two.
I don't know whether this is a satisfying answer, but if you actually had God in such an imminent, direct way, how could anyone be the leader afterward? I mean, it's still a problem. It's still hard for anyone to follow Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader, even if for Yehoshua, even when you do have this human leader. But you still need a human leader. I mean, it just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's doing everything, but you need a human being to Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give the entire Torah to the entire people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to have Moshe as the mediator of the Torah, at very least, and I think also as a mediator, as a leader. But what's important is that the performer of the miracles, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a sense, because the whole point, if you think about it, in a sense, the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved in everything is somewhat dangerous. Think about what the Torah represents. It represents an extreme break from a notion, not just, and this is a great chiddush of Yechezkel Kaufman, great Bible scholar, Jewish Bible scholar, who sort of rejected a lot of the Christian reading of Tanakh that was part of academic study of Tanakh. He said, "It's the chiddush of the Torah is not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is separate from nature. All these other, the Avodah Zarah that the Torah rejects, which is an Avodah Zarah where the Yam is a god, right? And by the way, Chazal here, they're taking on this mythic idea and they're changing it, but the myth, the original myth, right, that the Torah itself rejects and Chazal are having fun with, is that the sea is a god in and of itself, the sea god, right? And the Torah takes this myth and absolutely smashes it to the ground. So you have, in a sense, you need Moshe there, because if you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole point of the Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be identified with nature. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing in the context of history, which is what allows for this major change in the way of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for there to be a monotheism, where it's not just that it's one God, but it's a God who's not nature, right? We don't believe in pantheism. It requires history, and history requires human beings also. So I think it is that fine line. But at the end of the day, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu there to the right of Moshe, carrying a significant power along the way. Just one thought that I had, a separate possible interpretation, and I quoted that last mechilta. It's very late. I'm going to end with one final thought of mine. I think this the final mechilta that I gave there gives you yet another possible explanation of what the pshat problem of the psukim is. But vi'avarti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes through Egypt, right? Vihikeiti, right? Uvachol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to pass through? HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes through because he's doing everything on his own. Is it possible that that's the source of the drasha, right? When you send messengers, right? All the messengers can do the jobs, the different jobs, right, at once. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes through. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of doing 10 billion things at once. That's the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. But I think that there's sort of this added strength of the fact that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent here. He's passing through. He is appearing to us in a way that we can understand, that we can relate to. A human being passes through and goes one by one and takes care of everything and passes over every door that has the mezuzah. That's the imminence, that's the close connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you specifically have here, and that's part of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing in history as the Redeemer without needing to delegate to anyone, as much as the Torah is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above nature, he appears very imminently and very closely to us in Yetziat Mitzrayim.